Good Tuesday morning. I'm Jake Sherman, and welcome to your Political Playbook audio briefing.
And I'm Anna Palmer. There is 1 week until Election Day and 45 days until government funding runs dry. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has used Donald Trump's presidency to orchestrate a complete overhaul of the federal judiciary. After Monday night's confirmation and swearing in of Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court, Trump has appointed one-third of the nation's highest court. And according to the great Sungmin Kim of the Washington Post and former Politico, Trump has appointed 220 judges. The New York Times front page reads this: Barrett sworn in to Supreme Court after a 52-48 vote. A Scalia protege tilts a bench remade by Trump further to the right.
After Amy Coney Barrett was confirmed to the Supreme Court Monday evening, we got a sneak peek at both the stylistic and substantive rift that could come to dominate the Democratic Party in 2021 and 2022 should they win the Senate and the White House. Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader from New York who's up for re-election in 2022, said this while leaving the Capitol, according to the Hill Pool. I have two words for McConnell's speech, very defensive. On the Senate floor, Schumer peered over to the Republican side of the chamber and said, "You will have forfeited the right to tell us how to run the majority. The American people will never forget this blatant act of bad faith." For what it's worth, we didn't think McConnell sounded defensive at all, but rather gleeful. Also, who thought Republicans had the right to tell Democrats how to run their majority in the first place? Compare that to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who tweeted this: "Expand the court. Republicans do this because they don't believe Dems have the stones to play hardball like they do. And for a long time, they've been correct. But do not let them bully the public into thinking their bulldozing is normal, but a response isn't. There's a legal process for expansion."
This kind of rift should not be overlooked because it will come to dominate governance should Washington turn all blue. AOC is seen as one of Schumer's top primary challengers. The simplicity and bare-knuckled nature of her message could resonate among a Democratic base that's looking for knife fights, not senatorial process arguments. While Schumer and Joe Biden say changing the size of the court is on the table, the left is screaming that it should play by the same rules as the GOP, which is to say they should not worry about tradition and instead blow up what they consider the staid processes that govern official Washington. And it cannot be ignored that it's much easier to shout from the House than govern and lead in the Senate. But those are the dynamics that Schumer has to contend with, and those are the dynamics that are sure to dominate governing in 2021 and beyond.
Burgess Everett and Marianne Levine have the Politico TikTok, a must-read this morning, on how the Senate GOP's right turn paved the way for Barrett. While the Post has a piece up about how Dems tried to focus on the ACA as they watch Barrett's confirmation. Sometimes it seems like Trump is running a campaign in a parallel universe detached from the issues of the day. During three rallies Monday, he mentioned Amy Coney Barrett three times, each time seemingly in passing. And he didn't once talk about the standoff over stimulus or rail on Nancy Pelosi for her negotiating tactics. We have an interesting spotted this morning, Tucker Carlson and Tony Bobulinski eating at the Waldorf in Los Angeles Monday evening. Carlson is interviewing Bobulinski on his show Tuesday night.
Our healthcare gurus Dan Diamond and Adam Kanzerin have a scoop on how the Trump administration plans to use Medicare and Medicaid to cover out-of-pocket expenses related to COVID-19 vaccines for millions of Americans. While the AP notes that Trump is facing a spike in the Midwest, the worst time and the worst place ahead of the election. Meanwhile, Nancy Cook writes that Trump's closing argument is to forget about COVID. The Wall Street Journal reports that stocks are sliding on the coronavirus uptick and fading hopes for a stimulus package, while Ben White has the latest on how Wall Street is banking on a blue wave.
The New York Times has a look at how swing district Democrats are defying predictions and are poised to help keep the House. Josh Gerstein has the latest on how the Supreme Court rejected a request by Democrats and civil rights activists to extend the deadline for mail-in balloting past Election Day. Meanwhile, Twitter has labeled Trump's post about mail-in ballots as disputed and misleading. Here's what's on tap for the President's Tuesday. The President will leave the White House at 12:30 en route to Lansing, Michigan. He'll arrive there at 2:25 and give a campaign speech. He'll depart at 4 p.m. en route to Wisconsin, where he'll arrive at the Motorsports Management Company at 4:40 p.m. He'll speak at a campaign rally there, and afterward, he'll travel to Omaha. He'll arrive at Epley Airfield at 7:50. Afterward, he'll travel to Las Vegas, where he'll arrive at 9:50 p.m. and spend the night.
On the trail, Joe Biden will travel to Warm Springs, Georgia, and deliver a campaign speech in the afternoon. He will also attend a drive-in event in Atlanta focused on early voting. Joe Biden will travel to Bangor, Maine, for a GOTV rally, while Kamala Harris will travel to Reno and Las Vegas to participate in early voter mobilization events. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.